I say, what? Ho, this is Brian. Call me Hot Dog Gardener, coming to you from the Ramble On Jeep in scenic, in the parking lot of a Tim Hortons in scenic Brampton, Ontario. And you are listening to Ramble On Radio, episode 97 on the Off the Cuff Podcasting Network. Ramble On Radio is the only Led Zeppelin podcast on this or any other known internets. Be sure to go to RambleOnRadio.com for all your Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links I might mention during the show. And we have some specific links for you. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes. If you're in iTunes, pop over to Ramble On Radio, press the subscribe button, and leave a review. That's it. Leave a review. Liked it, didn't like it, that's okay. Not bad for a podcast done in a Jeep. That sort of thing. That's my Tim Hortons coffee I'm drinking. Got to keep the voice lubricated. And it just helps with, if the more reviews, the more it's noticed by iTunes when people do searches and whatnot. You can listen on Podbean at I Am Brian Dammit. Listen on Spreaker. Be sure to follow Ramble On Radio on Spreaker. That's important because if I got enough followers, if I subscribe to iHeartRadio, apply to iHeartRadio. That's one of the things they look at is followers on Spreaker. And be sure to follow Ramble On Radio on. So be sure to follow Ramble On Radio on Spreaker and check out Ramble On Radio on YouTube. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. Like I said, this may be the first time ever somebody has called Brampton, Ontario scenic, but here I am in the Jeep in the parking lot. Not driving this time, not going 110 kilometer an hour down the road at 2 in the morning. But actually waiting to pick somebody up from the airport, and it's going to be about 2 hours, and I work in Brampton, and so I had some lag time. And, if you're thinking to yourself, geez, 2 in a row in the car, what's with that? And by the way, how come he's not putting out more? I mean, geez, 3 weeks in the last one, and then... You know, it was a couple of weeks before that. Instead of doing it every week, he's doing it every 2, maybe every 3 weeks. What's going on with this guy? Let the first part of that question answer the second part. I'm cramming these in the Jeep while I have a chance. I'm just that kind of busy. And like I said, I'm picking up people from the airport now. You know what the weekend's going to be? You know what the next 5 days are going to be like? Because we have people at our house from England. So it's not, you know, listen, I got to sneak off and do my podcast. Doesn't... I don't know. It's hard to do, right? So it's I'm kind of trying to cram it in now. Apologies for the sound quality in this. It wasn't awful last week, but it's not great either. I get that. But I'm doing what I can here. At least I have a portion of a script. I can read some stuff for you, which is something, which is big time something, I think. I can keep an eye on what I'm doing because I'm parked and not driving down the road. So, did you go on over to Ramble On Radio, though, at RambleOnRadio.com, and we talked last week about Jason Bonham. I wrote down my thoughts about 2 days later and got them posted. Probably worth doing, but I would say it was such a good show. I'll repeat that again. I know I said a lot last week. It's as good as I've ever seen them be, and I think that was the kind of the point I was trying to get at. And they've always been good, but... You know, they played a really kind of lean, mean set, and they just were a little leaner, meaner band than they had been in the past, and it was kind of, it made for quite an exciting show, quite a good show. So thanks again to James Dillon for seeing me after and for helping me out with tickets and whatnot, Tony Catania again was wonderful, gracious, and is a great guitar player. If you get a chance to see them or talk to these guys, they're quite approachable, which is nice, which is something very nice, you know. And listen, James said something. Somebody was asking him something, and he said, you know, about doing this and how long you've been a musician. So he look, I was a, you know, he was seen on YouTube by the guys in Led Zeppelin. And that's what started us. He says, look, I was just some schlub with a job 3 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever it was. And I get this out-of-the-blue phone call. Some people saying, you know, Jason Bonham's going to be calling you tomorrow. That sort of thing. And he says, his first thought was, yeah, right. Which one of my friends is this? But it was life, and he makes the point. It was life-changing. Just because I kept myself active and doing stuff, something happened that changed everything. And it's, he's a real kind of modest, real approachable guy, and a very, very nice guy. And if you get a chance, he's also a stunning artist. I've talked about it before. We had him on in December to talk about it. But he has his two pencil drawings of John Bonham and Robert Plant. He says Jonesy and Jimmy Page to do, plus a fifth one I suspect will be a shot from the O2 show, including his boss, Jason. That's just a wild guess. That's his plan, and they're stunning. They're stunning, and they would make a great office piece, framed on the wall, or even a couple of them in your rec room, or your man cave. They would be stunning. James Dillon, I just got to pimp his stuff for him a little bit. Speaking of pimping stuff, I haven't done the link yet because busy, but other stuff's been jumping in, and I wanted to give it some time on its own. But I've talked before about Jeff Strawman's upcoming book, Led Zepp Gear. If you Google Led Zepp Gear, you'll come to his page. He's looking for pre-orders right now, and taking them in the form of it's really, he's funding the book project through the website, crowdfunding it, crowdsourcing it. But if you contribute $20, you get an e-book. If you contribute $40, you get a hardcover. So the price of a book is you're basically buying the book and crowdfunding the book as well. And I threw up $20. I've already talked to him about getting a review copy. That doesn't seem to be a problem. I threw up $20 with no I didn't ask for anything back. But if you do go on to his site, to do the crowdfunding thing, make sure that you kind of tell them what you, there's a group of whatever money you put in, there's a prize, but it's not a prize, but it's a present, or, you can pick something depending on how much you put in, I didn't even quite realize that. So make sure you do that and get your copy of the book, and the book is called Led Zepp Gear. Now, about a year and a half ago, Jeff's been working on this for a long time. And about a year and a half ago, he emailed me and said, would you do me a favor and look at what I've got going on in the first draft? And he sent me 50 pages, and I read it, and, he sent me another email saying, I want to know honestly what you think, be brutally honest, and I actually sent him a fairly detailed, I really liked it, but some stuff that I kind of had my, this is just what I thought, good and bad. Some stuff I liked and some stuff I kind of thought, this could be improved, or stylistically you could do this, or, and it was stuff like, I don't know if I want to say anything specific, but one of the things he did throughout the book was say, he would mention a guitar, and he referred to it as the such and such a guitar. And a couple of times I went backwards going, I don't remember talking about this one before. And I kind of suggested, like, the means is something that you've already talked about, the first time you present a guitar, first time you present an instrument, it should be instead of instead of a the. So the reader knows it's a new, Stuff like that. So small stylistic things, which he could take or leave as he chooses, his choice, obviously. And I wouldn't, when I get to review the book, I'm not going to be sitting going, hey, I told him he should do this and he didn't, and now this book sucks. Because there was nothing that was really wrong with it. It was small stuff. But it was a good book. It was a really good book. And it's, if you're kind of a Zeppelin geek, most people listening to this are, I think you'll really like it. Especially if you're a musician of any sort. If you're a non-musician, you may find it a bit technical talking about this, but you may also find it quite interesting. As a non-musician looking into the kind of gear that makes the sound happen, maybe something that's interesting for you. But again, Jeff Strawman, and if you Google him, you'll find him, and Led Zepp gear. And if you Google that, you'll find it. You get your chance to buy it / contribute to it. And I think it's a worthwhile a book and a worthwhile cause. Last week, Robert's touring. He's touring the States, and he's out west. And I guess, I think this is Wednesday night's the June the 3rd. I think tonight or tomorrow night he plays New York, Huntington or Hunter, New York. And that would be, so that's his first Eastern show on this tour. But he's been rolling out west. And in Las Vegas, first time in 10 years in Las Vegas, he pulled out the Wonton song last Friday, which is kind of neat and cool. And he's opening the shows with it. And interesting thing, watching the video of that, and something that struck me before, Skin Tyson is kind of up front and center. When he did the Sensational, was Strange Sensation, it was kind of assumed to be a Justin Adams-led band. Well, Robert Plant and, you know, Justin Adams, the guitar player. And this band was kind of presumed to be Justin Adams again. I think most people thought that it would be a Justin Adams-style band. That was the reason, you know, putting these people together. But Skin Tyson really seems to be coming to the forefront more and more, both visually on stage and musically. So on the Wonton song, he's the guy, he's standing right beside Robert. As far as the experts seem to be able to tell, this is the only time Robert's done Wonton song without Jimmy Page. Did it in Led Zeppelin and did it as Page and Plant, but never in his solo career. So it seems to be the first time. And that's kind of a big deal, right? But the thing is, a couple of nights earlier, he also did Dazed and Confused. Got thrown into the middle of another song, and it's not off the top of my head. I don't know it. And I apologize, I don't have an internet connection, so I can't quickly pull it up. Well, I do, but it's on my phone, and I'm recording in my phone. I don't want to touch it. But at about 4 minutes, and if you go to RamblerRadio.com, I have a video up, and it tells you exactly, but at about 4:40 in the video, they just drop straight into the bass intro, first verse, chorus, second verse, chorus, you know, and by chorus, I mean the bridge part, you know, the guitar break. And that's kind of, that's the first time since 2007, and I'm trying to remember offhand, but it was about 94, 95. 2007, of course, was the O2 show. That's, as a solo artist, he really hasn't done it since the mid-90s. Been about 20 years, as far as can make out. And I got to thank Wyatt, regular listener, Zep Cowboy is his website. I mentioned him once in a while. He kind of came up with the dates of the last show when it came up. But Robert's doing Wonton Song and Dazed and Confused. He's in Toronto this weekend. And I probably would, at this stage, think, well, I think, that, didn't I complain the tickets were really expensive? And that may would stop me. But I truthfully, I have these people in from England, and it would be not impossible, but difficult to get and see Robert Plant on Sunday night. So if Robert's people are listening, I can make it. I can make it if you make it worth my while. But otherwise, I don't see it. It's difficult enough that I don't see it happening. And it's been a trend of Robert's. He picks nights that I'm not good for to come to Toronto. And the last couple of times he's been here, I was out of town one of the times, I think. And I think my own band was playing on that particular night. And stuff like that just seems to happen. But with him doing that sort of, the material he's doing and the way he's doing, because he's not just doing Dazed and Confused, he's not doing a Ritty version, an African Ritty version of Dazed and Confused, right? He's doing it Zeppelin style, and he's doing Wonton Song Zeppelin style, or wanton song. Very Zeppelin style. So there's, and there's other stuff in the show that it's very done up in the proper way. So probably getting more and more worth seeing Robert, maybe, than I think I would have thought, a few months ago. So, which is good. All I got to do is get a free night when he's in town. And enough warning that I can piece some kind of money he's asking for tickets together, and we'll be on to something. Yesterday there was a leak from Amazon for the last of the remasters. James Cook, I've talked about James Cook before, Led Zeppelin News, phenomenal Twitter feed. He also does a weekly email blast, and a Facebook page and a Pinterest page. He's got the whole social networking thing down pat. He is a journalist, and so he works on his, but he's very up on the social media side of things. He works all day on his computer, so he doesn't miss anything that comes past, right? He gets a Google alert on Jimmy Page. He's reading it. He's following it. And he's obviously got searches up for other words, like in Amazon and stuff, that he gets. Because he's all over. They briefly posted all the pictures and whatnot yesterday of the last of the remasters. And he was all over getting pictures, getting a day in advance scoop. Today they released the actual information. And what he had was 100% accurate, by the way. And here's what he had. Presence, In Through the Outdoor, and Coda, the remasters, will be in stores July 31st. Bad date, guys. I must say this. It's a Friday. Earlier this year, anyway, in the deepest part of the winter, the record company people all kind of got together and agreed, and I guess they've been negotiating this for a couple of years, actually, that henceforth, all albums would be released on Fridays internationally. So I've talked before about they release it on Monday in the Europe and they release it on Tuesday, and I kind of think this is idiotic. Do they think I don't get stuff off the internet from Europe? You know what I mean? You release it on Monday, some guy posts it online Tuesday, I don't need to go to the run to the store and get it because it's already online. So it struck me as it was so foolish. And they've changed it, and it's Friday internationally for any release. Now, I suppose they could push it on and off, do it off weeks and stuff, but all the record companies have agreed that this will be the day that they do it. Worldwide, in Asia, in Europe, apparently in Asia it was Friday before, so it would just be right across the board Friday. So this is a Friday, July 25th. Problem is, 7 days after my birthday. 7 days after my birthday. 1 week. They put it that Friday. The wife saying, what do you want for your birthday? I'd say, you know what? In Through the Outdoor, the box set. Let's get up. 9 o'clock in the morning. Go to the store. Pick it up. Then just, you go do what you got to do, and I'll be fine the rest of the day. I'll be the guy with the headphones in the corner. You know, bring me beer once in a while. No, we actually have plans for that today, but you know what I mean? It would have been perfect. Now it's going to be, mind you, I still have Houses of the Holy and Led Zeppelin 1 to get, and those are there. I have decided, by the way, to get all of them. In fact, this week ordered, here's the thing you got to do. Every single day, go to rambleradio.com, and I have all the box sets on advertisement down the right-hand side. And they are active ads, so the price is updated. So I was there. I happened to be on it this week because I was posting a story on, I think the Robert Plant story is what I was posting. And as I was checking it, I kind of looked at the ads down the side. You know, I kind of check, make sure everything's working well while I'm there. And I noticed $71 for Led Zeppelin 2, the deluxe edition box set at Amazon. So I clicked on it. I bought it. Mm-hmm. So really came in because they've got a new, they now add tax and stuff. But it was $100. About $100. That's it for the box set. Everything in. Shipping, all of it. So I grabbed. So that's two. So I only have houses and number one to go now. I have 2, 3, 4, and physical graffiti. I picked up about a month ago. So, yeah, I'm going to end up getting them all. I knew I would eventually, but I wanted to hold back and make sure this was worth getting. And I knew I'd get one or two of them, and I've enjoyed the ones I got. So, and once I got Houses of the Holy and the deluxe edition CD, and realized how much I liked the deluxe music on that, I thought, oh, now I want the box set for that one. And that was what, okay, now I'm down to just one or two that I really wouldn't have or wouldn't buy. Coda being one of them, I suppose. But now Coda just made itself must-have-ish, which was clever, I suppose. But anyway, July 25th is the day, or July 31st, sorry, is the day. 1 week too late. You know, like, if you really want, you could pre-order it. Send me a notice that it's been pre-ordered, sent to me. I'll accept that for a birthday, but there you go. So here's what we have. It's going to be, of course, CD, a CD deluxe, 2 or 3 CDs. A Coda is 3 CD set. Into the Outdoor and Presence, 2 CD set. Then there's the LP, 1 LP, and then the LP deluxe. Again, 2 for Presence and Into the Outdoor, 3 LPs for Coda. Then the Super Deluxe Edition box set, which includes all 3 or all 2 or all 3 CDs, depending on the set, all 2 or 3 LPs, plus all the music on a digital FLAC file download, high def download file. And like a 72-page booklet, and the numbered print. There's a print in each one of the actual art album cover, kind of a, you know, frameable print, and the first 30,000 are numbered. And I'll be really interested to see if when I get Led Zeppelin 2 in the next week or whatever, because it's been a year, hasn't it? Has it been a year? Yeah, it's got to be been a year for that. Will it be a numbered print? Will it be a numbered print? Are they still, or have they gone through 30,000 box sets? Because, you know, both things, if they've gone through 30,000 box sets, you go, oh, that's a lot of bucks. Right? That's 150, 100 to 150 bucks a box. 30,000 is, but if the numbers are there, then you go, wait a minute, they haven't sold 30,000 in a year? I wonder if that's disappointing to them. So it'll be interesting to see, and I'll let you know. That'll just be interesting. I'm not too worried either way, by the way. I know some guys really want the numbered, and some guys wanted low numbers too, you know. And I know that, and I get that instinct, but I've cured that instinct in me a little bit over the years. It doesn't matter to me. Look, and it may have more value down the road as the sale of a resaleable item if it has a number or a lower number. Maybe. I don't care, because I'm going to be dead when they're selling it. It's my kid's problem, not mine. Or beyond caring about that stuff at that stage where you go, I don't care, whatever. You know, and they'll just be throwing it in the dumpster or something. So, trust me, went through that with my own dad about 2 years ago, and it's not fun for him or for you, but it's the way it ends up working. Okay, so here's what you're getting. Presence. The original album is, of course, Achilles' Last Stand, For Your Life, Royal Orleans, Nobody's Fault But Mine, Candy Store Rock, Hot Song for Nowhere, T41. The bonus disc has, it's a short one, actually, two ones or one. That's two ones, O-N-E-S, R, one, W-O-N. For Your Life reference mix, 10 ribs in all, carrot, pod, pod, bracket, pod. I have no idea what that's supposed to mean. Royal Orleans reference mix, Hot Song for Nowhere reference mix. So that's a 5-song disc. So you got to assume two ones or one, and I think two ones or one was deemed to be, according to Dave Lewis, TBLweb.com, Type But Loose, etc., friend of the show, according to Dave Lewis, two ones or one, I believe, is a, Achilles' Last Stand, rough mix, production mix, something along those lines. Some variation on Achilles' Last Stand, anyway. So it may be a big instrumental draw on that album. Because I know Paige talked about the guitar orchestra kind of thing on that at some point. That may be what you're getting there, whether it's got vocals, who knows. Sounds like 10 ribs in all. Carrot pod is a new song. Whether it's long, short, who knows. But I'm guessing both of those are fairly long. As Hot Song for Nowhere, Royal Orleans, and For Your Life are not the longest songs. So I'm thinking you got some length in those other two. In Through the Outdoor, original album, In the Evening, Southbound Soiree, Fool in the Rain, Hot Dog, Carousel Ombra, All My Love, I'm Gonna Crawl. The bonus disc. In the Evening, Rough Mix, Southbound Piano, Southbound Soiree, Fool in the Rain, Rough Mix, Hot Dog, Rough Mix, The Epic, Carousel, which is Carousel Amber, Rough Mix, The Hook, which is All My Love, Rough Mix, Blot, which is I'm Gonna Crawl, Rough Mix, and again, I want to repeat the Southbound Piano, which is Southbound Soiree, it says, I'm guessing it's the piano only, or piano mix, or something. But that is, the album, repeated, with different mixes, / different takes, I guess. There's three of them have different names, right? The Epic, The Hook, and Blot, which may mean they're completely different takes with a different mix as well. Who knows? But it is a repetition, much like they did on Led Zeppelin 4, and to a slightly lesser degree on Houses of the Holy. Led Zeppelin 4 is you get the album, and then the bonus is the album with different mixes. The entire album. Houses of the Holy, you recall, is more or less that. It's a couple of instrumental versions and rough mixes, and it does not have Jermaker. So this is kind of like that. It's the entire album in the same order, just different mixes. Possibly different takes of the songs. Coda. The thing about Coda is, when it was released in 82, it was such a disappointment. And it is. I read somebody today said they've always loved it. And it has its moments, for certain. But it always seems so disjointed. It's a bit of a mess, almost. Which you get, because they threw stuff together. And they threw in, like, I Can't Quit You, Baby, which is on the first album anyway. Now they have the sound check version, you know. And what did they do here? And I think there is, for some reason, I thought there was another, no. Oh, there is We're Gonna Groove, gets an alternate mix, you know, which is, whatever. But We're Gonna Groove, Poor Tom, I Can't Quit You, Baby, sound check version, Walter's Walk, Ozone Baby, Darlene, Bonzo's Mantra, and Wearing and Tearing. That is the original Coda. Notice it's not. There are some versions of Coda later on that have the box set version of Bonzo's Mantra / Moby Dick. They kind of combine them. This does not. It just says Bonzo's Mantra. Okay, first bonus disc. Two bonus discs in Coda. We're Gonna Groove, alternate mix. If It Keeps on Raining, When the Levee Breaks, rough mix. Bonzo's Mantra, mixed construction in progress. Baby Come On Home, Sugar Mama mix, Poor Tom instrumental mix, Traveling Riverside Blues BBC session, Hey Hey What Can I Do, which was the B-side of the Immigrant Song single and quite a well-known song since. Second bonus disc, Four Hands, which is four sticks from the Bombay Orchestra, Friends with the Bombay Orchestra, St. Tristan's Sword, rough mix, Desire, the Wonton Song, rough mix, Bring It On Home, rough mix, Walter's Walk, rough mix, Everybody Makes It Through, which is In the Light, rough mix. And I want to repeat this one because I don't think I got it quite right. Desire, which is the Wonton Song rough mix. There's not the Wonton Song rough mix on this. It's Desire / the Wonton Song rough mix. Okay, so there's a lot of ground to cover there. Let's start with the back. Everybody Makes It Through, rough mix of In the Light is interesting. I have to go back to my physical graffiti. I see stuff like that. I would have rathered that was on instead of a version of Kashmir that sounds like the other version of Kashmir. If this is truly unique, that's what should have been there. Same goes for Friends and Four Sticks with the Bombay Orchestra, which were done around the time of the fourth album. That probably should have been on the fourth album instead of an instrumental version of Going to California. St. Tristan's Sword is from the third album. Do we really need Out of the Tiles instrumental version? Or could we have had that instead? And Hey, Hey, What Can I Do, of course, could have been put in on that one. So I find this intriguing, interesting, and a bit frustrating. And that's why that's the frustrating part. If it keeps on raining, instead of the mix of When the Levee Breaks that we got, which is, I don't know, almost just a mix, just a different mix and fairly indistinguishable. Well, it wasn't a rough mix. It was a completed mix, right? It was mastered. It was a different mastering. But, I mean, it was, you know, so much the same in many ways. And now we're getting another rough mix of When the Levee Breaks. If this is that much more interesting or better, couldn't it have been on the fourth? So I think that's a bit frustrating. But you got to sell Coda too, I guess, right? That's the point. They're not here to sell 9 albums. They're here to sell 10 albums. I have that right? 6, 3. They're not here to sell 8. They sell 9. I think maybe it's more like it. I'm in the parking lot watching people go by. So forgive me for the hesitation there. I'm going backwards, right? So Walter's Walk, rough mix, whatever. Bring It On Home, rough mix. That could have been on the second album. As I recall, the second album was quite disappointing. But maybe it's either uninteresting unto itself, right? Or why was it with the second album? The same with Desire, which is the Wanton song, rough mix. Could have been with Physical Graffiti, or maybe it's uninteresting unto itself and it didn't need to be anywhere. And then we get to this one, St. Tristan's Sword, which is from the third album, Sessions. Apparently it's a guitar instrumental. It's a Jimmy instrumental from the third album. This has long been rumored to exist. The title, St. Tristan's Sword, has long been rumored as a Led Zeppelin piece, as this one was there. And many, Dave Lewis mentions in his own write-up on this that he'd long given this up for being a fantasy, not being real. I think a lot of Led Zeppelin, the people who really know the stuff that's out there that's not official, a lot of them had decided somewhere around ago that this was a myth, that the St. Tristan's Sword didn't exist. This one is exciting. This is very exciting for a lot of people. And a legitimate outtake, so maybe a legitimate Coda add-on, right? It's a legitimate outtake that never got finished. Interesting title. Tristan's Sword is a part of the Arthurian legend. Tristan, much like Arthur's Excalibur, Tristan himself had a sword. Tristan of more well-known from the story of Tristan und Isolde. Isolde being the Irish princess, as I recall it. And Tristan wooed her with his beautiful lute playing. And she left Ireland and hooked up with him in the third century sense, not the modern day sense, in Wales. Kind of left in the middle of the night, crossed the water, treacherous travel journey in those days, took the ferry across to Wales, where she met with Sir Tristan, one of the knights of the Round Table. Problem here is he calls it St. Tristan's Sword, and I don't think Tristan was ever sainted. I don't think there's a St. Tristan. So it would be Sir Tristan's Sword, or Tristan's Sword. It wouldn't really be St. Tristan's Sword, which maybe is explainable. You know, it's interesting that this is a Jimmy song, and yet he's gone into that Welsh mythology that Robert loves so much. But maybe if Robert had written it, he would have known better than to call it St. Tristan's Sword. On the, you know, you can be pedantic, right? You can be really fussy. And here's being, this is me being really fussy. This is, somebody else posted a little bit on this, and I kind of, I was at work, so I didn't have a lot of chance to do it. And as I've already, I'm not going to for a week get a looking into this, but I've always liked the Tristan and Isolde story. So I kind of know Tristan, who Tristan is. He's an historical figure as well as a mythological figure. I think it's fairly clear that he existed at one point. But there is, as far as we can tell, no Saint Tristan. But I'd be, you know, Jimmy recorded this thing and needed to have a name, and he probably had heard Robert yapping on about this story. You know what I mean? I went, oh, I need a name. Oh, I know. What was Robert talking about? Saint Tristan's sword. That's right. You know, and he, without paying much attention, probably just scribbled a name down. And now here's me all these years later going, oh, that's historically inaccurate. Jimmy Page doesn't understand 4th century literature, you know? No, he's the guitar player in the band. He does not understand 4th century literature. That's a realistic possibility. But anyway, that's where the title comes from. And I suppose it's interesting because, like I say, the song Saint Tristan's Sword was thought to be a bit of a mythological creature, and Tristan himself is kind of a folklore, mythological character. Anyway, then we have Four Sticks and Friends from the Bombay Orchestra Session. These were done. I thought this was really interesting that this is on there because I mentioned a year and a half, 2 years ago, on one of these very shows that Robert had mentioned in an interview. He'd recently been listening to this. And I kind of cracked, oh, I thought he didn't listen to the old Led Zeppelin stuff. And I was just being, I was just being a dick, really. I was kidding, I guess, is what I mean. But if you're a big Robert fan who thinks I pick on him, then I was probably being a dick. But he had mentioned in an interview that, we were good, that sort of thing. There's, you know, and I was listening to a bootleg the other day of, you know, us playing with the Bombay Orchestra. Kind of looking back now, that would have been around the time they were assembling all this stuff. So that's an interesting comment in retrospect. And if you think Jimmy did all this and Robert had nothing to do with it, I would argue that that is evidence that Robert was at least part of the choosing the songs process or the listening through process. You know, exercise some veto over material. Since those songs that Robert said they have of John Paul Jones singing never materialized, I suppose it's possible that they all have held some veto power over the songs, or that, or that he was kidding, which I think is more likely true. So going backwards, Hey Hey What Can I Do was the B-side of the Immigrant Song single. Became fairly famous afterwards as a song everybody wanted, and wound up on the box sets, as did Baby Come On Home and Traveling Riverside Blues in the BBC sessions. And the BBC session, also the CD set of the BBC sessions, produced Traveling Riverside Blues as well. So all those songs have been released in other forms, those three songs. Poor Tom instrumental mix speaks for itself, I guess. Sugar Mama mix. I'm curious what this is. Now, they did this. I don't know. I have no idea what that is. That's kind of neat. Or am I missing a song in there? Am I missing a song they've released down the road? And that's just maybe. But I'm really curious what that is. Same goes for if it keeps on raining. When the Levee Breaks, rough mix. How rough? What are the vocals? Etc. 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 That's interesting to me. That's very interesting to me. So, and then, of course, We're Gonna Groove, and how unexciting. I remember getting Coda, and for some reason, I always thought We're Gonna Groove was a retread. It was, but it wasn't. But it struck me as one of those songs I had heard them do before. But I don't think it was at the time. And don't text me, don't email me, tell me, oh no, they were doing it live. You probably knew it from the bootlegs. I did not hear Led Zeppelin bootleg until well into the 80s. Bootlegs were rumors. Where I grew up, I knew nobody who had any bootlegs. Bootlegs were rumors. And I think if I'd have found a $100 record, I would have choked anyway. So, never heard anything like that. But so, yeah, if Coda becomes very viable, I think very viable, don't you? So that's it. That's the last of them coming out. And rumor today from Led Zeppelin News, James Cook, et cetera, said, what here? Jimmy's thinking about putting out a live version of the Earl's Court Show, putting out some tracks or whatever on audio of the Earl's Court Shows, which is in 2017 or 2018, I think it was, which on first blush is great news. Oh, great, we're going to get Earl's Court. But on second blush, look, Jimmy has not played live. He's been talking about playing live, and he talked about it a couple of years ago, and then that died down, and he specifically mentioned, yeah, well, I got doing these instead. And now I want to get back to doing live shows, recording, getting an album out. If he's pissing around with the Earl's Court tapes now, it means he's not putting a band together, putting out new material, and, you know, and putting together a tour. That's not what's happening. And so that's not good news. That's bad news. That's no good. So, but that is the rumor that surfaced today and this very day. And again, look, if you're on Twitter, you got to follow Led Zeppelin News. Otherwise, you miss way too much of this stuff. I spend half my life playing catch-up with James Cook nowadays. And the reason is because he's right beside his computer. He's mastered the art of getting the information fast. And I see the information sometimes, but it takes me 3 days to do anything with it because I got a job that doesn't let me sit down and type and post and whatnot, whereas James's job is sitting, typing, and posting stuff and whatnot. So he can kind of get at it quicker. Plus, he's doing Twitter, which can be a hit a lot quicker. Bang, bang, bang. He can just hit it off. And he does an astounding job of it. How fast, if you want to know the strength, if you're not on Twitter, I try to explain people how strong the strength of Twitter, how magical it can be. And I fail regularly. And, you know, this is how powerfully it can move information so quickly. You know, it can go from it's a leak report to bang, it's on Twitter to this or that and that or this. So fast. It's astounding. So yeah, if you're not on Twitter and you're thinking about it, start a Twitter account. They're free, they're easy, and just follow Led Zeppelin News and Ramble Hour Radio. And see what he does and how, you know, how fast he gets information out. Or if you're on Facebook, check his Facebook and et cetera, et cetera. But he's a must follow. He really is. And that's it. So that's it for Ramble on Radio episode 97. I was going to do Earl's Court. Earl's Court was the actual topic and I do have it written down. But I also knew in my heart of hearts, once I got talking about the remasters, then we may never get to Earl's Court. So Earl's Court's coming. That'll probably be next week now. I don't know. Maybe sometime in July I'll get to Earl's Court. I don't know. But I will get to it. I do want to have some discussion on Earl's Court. And I gotta get a hold of Dave Lewis. That book is coming out, Five Glorious Nights. I'd like to see if he wants to come on, talk Earl's Court, talk the book. But the book's not going to be released until mid-June or mid-July or something like that. So I might have to hold on to that. We'll see. Next week I go on afternoons. Things slow down a bit when I get on afternoons. And I'll get in touch with people like that. But that's it for this week. That's Led Zeppelin, Ramble on Radio, the only Led Zeppelin podcast on this radio. It's episode 97. Check rambleonradio.com for notes on this week's podcast, on Led Zeppelin news and reviews, and any links mentioned in today's podcast as well. I have a review up or a thing up on the remasters, but I was unable from my in motion, you know, from my iPad, really, to get the links without breaking my iPad, I was unable to get the links up to buy the stuff. Give me a couple of days. Give me till Thursday or Friday or Saturday, and I'll also get links. If you're going to buy from Amazon, go to RamblingRadio.com, click on those links. Go every day to RamblingRadio.com and check the sidebars for the $70 box sets, if you're looking for any of the box sets, because the one popped up this week for $70. Like I said, Led Zeppelin 2 did. Keep your eye, the prices are active on it, so it shows you right up what the current price is. It's, you know, it's an easy way, and it helps. It helps to fund this podcast, basically, which is currently 100% funded out of my pockets. Just so you know, if you think I'm getting rich off this, I have never seen a penny from Amazon. I think for about 5 years now, I've had Amazon links, and I think I've earned a whole grand total of $10. And they won't send until it's 100. So it really doesn't, you know. But anyway, if y'all did it, if y'all bought the box sets, who are buying it, went to Amazon, bought them that way, just bought them through me, and it's no more pricey or no more difficult than going to Amazon.com yourself. And look, if you're buying a new car for Amazon, if you go click on the Led Zeppelin box set, then search for the car you want and buy it, and I get a percentage of that car. It funds the podcast. Doesn't hurt you. Helps me. What could be worse? And if you don't want to do me, if you got another favorite website that has Amazon ads, work that way, and it helps them out. You know? But anyway, I feel like I'm Jim Baker all of a sudden here. So follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. I do try to reply if anybody kind of posts anything or says anything. You can also subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review if you go to iTunes. Listen on Spreaker. Be sure to follow Ramble On Radio on Spreaker. That's SPREAKER.com. And check out Ramble On Radio on YouTube. I have some old podcast videos of podcasts and whatnot. Thanks for listening to Ramble On Radio, episode 97. We're getting really close to that 100 mark. I really have to start thinking what I'm going to do for that one, because that's going to be special. So episode 97 in the books. Thanks for listening. Keep it coolin', babies.
Internet.